Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On Monday, Occupy groups organized a coordinated shutdown of ports along the West Coast from San Diego to Anchorage, Alaska. Ports in Oakland, Portland, Oregon, and Longview, Washington were shut down. The closures were intended to support the International Longshore and Warehouse Union in Longview, Washington, in their ongoing battle with the export grain terminal. The coordinated port closures were not officially condoned by the union, but many workers stood in solidarity with the demonstrators. On that same day, occupiers expressed solidarity with the port shutdowns by attempting to halt trucks at central distribution centers for Walmart in Utah and Colorado. And then on December 7th, 62 people were arrested after they shut down K Street in Washington, D.C. That's the home of Washington's lobbyists. About a dozen more were arrested in front of the Supreme Court. Demonstrators from some 46 states across the country converged in Washington to occupy the offices of their representatives. They wanted to meet with representatives to talk about issues like income inequality, workers' rights, and tax breaks. So on today's Your Call, we are talking about these various actions. What do you think of these actions? What do you think the targets should be? What is most effective, and how should the Occupy movement move forward in 2012? And I'd like to give out the phone number early today. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We really want to spend the hour talking about the most effective targets and the most effective strategies. And joining us today is Vanessa Carlisle. She is a member of Occupy Los Angeles. She has been involved since day one. She's an activist and a grad student at USC, and she joins us from LA. Hi, Vanessa. Welcome back to the show.
Hi there.
We're also joined by Kat Hoban. She's an organizer with Occupy San Francisco, which was dismantled last week or earlier this month, and we'll get an update on that. Hi, Kat. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Nice to have you. And we're joined by Justin Kramer. Justin is a member of Occupy Salt Lake City in Utah, and he is studying at the University of Utah Peace and Conflict Resolution, so he focuses on these issues on a regular basis. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. So why don't we start off with you, Justin? So many of the Occupy movements on the coasts get a lot of attention, but the inland movements don't get as much. Before we talk about the action you took part in solidarity with the port shutdown, at this point, a couple of months after Occupy Wall Street was born, what do you think is the most effective target?
There's a lot of effective targets. Right now, the movement is mostly, and it has been for quite some time, changing the dialogue and bringing awareness to the public about the various issues of wealth disparity and how it is permeating our culture in this country. So as to what brings awareness and what demonstrates our strength as we stand together, I believe that the West Coast port shutdown is a great demonstration of that solidarity and a great demonstration of what we can do as a people if we stand together to check some of these unjust business practices. Here in Salt Lake City, in order to resonate that message, we reached out to our local Walmart to stand in solidarity with Denver's call to action for inland occupations who didn't necessarily have access to certain ports to still be able to stand in solidarity with this disruption of distribution throughout the country. We chose to do it in a positive way, where we brought on the table a lot of propaganda and flyers for the truckers to let them know that we're not against their actions. We support them as workers of our community, and we support them in their efforts to work together to put a more effective check on the unethical business practices of Walmart, so that the target wasn't necessarily perceived as the destruction of Walmart as an entity, but more or less we wished it, that it would function more ethically and would with more compassion towards its workers and the communities which it's currently destroying. And as far as effective targets, I think we did that very well on the December the 12th, and I think the West Coast port shutdown showed that same same sort of positive effect with the truckers and many other unions, many other workers showing thanks for showing this inspiring effort to make a change in this country.
And did the action at Walmart get much attention in your local media?
It was in most of the newspapers, from the Tooele Transcript, from the West Desert, the City Weekly, Salt Lake City Weekly, one of our independent free newspapers, published online a wonderful article that I would encourage anyone to take a look at. The Salt Lake Tribune, in the money section, the business section, did a great article with a wonderful picture of us all biking in front of a one of the trucks down this highway in the West Desert in Utah. I believe it got a lot of really good attention. A lot of people that I've ran into since the action have been more than excited to ask me questions about it, and have been have this look of inspiration on their face that is a really positive thing to see.
And that is Justin Kramer. He's a member of Occupy Salt Lake City in Utah. And Kat Hoban, you're an organizer with Occupy San Francisco. Before we talk about the dismantling of the camp, at this point, what do you think is the most effective target?
Well, before I answer your question, I'd just like to say that I'm one of many, many organizers. So I sometimes call myself an organizer, other times a community member. And to answer your question, like, who do I think is the most effective target, I really like to kind of challenge, in some ways, our notion of what the goals are of the work that we do. And I don't see there as being one target ever in the organizing that we're doing or the actions that we're taking, because in some ways to recognize somebody as a target is to give clout to the power that they hold and the authority that they hold within this current society and system, and to make demands of them from within their position, to make concessions or make changes, and that is not power or authority that I personally recognize. When I participate in an action, for me, it mostly serves the purpose of either engaging the public in action that can be empowering, as Justin said, inspire them either by through participation on the ground or through participation in media or prompt discussion, critical discussion. And I love it when people say, was that right? Was that the right steps to take? Or I'm confused about, why this movement would choose to do that, because that shows that they're thinking critically. I don't want anybody, the general public or members of Occupy San Francisco, to accept any action of our movement or any movement without thinking critically about it.
All right, well, then let's talk about that, because here's what we're dealing with. So many of the camps across the country have been dismantled. Mm-hmm. The media coverage is focusing on the police brutality. And, mm-hmm. It's really important to really stay on the message. And I just saw an article saying that half of this country is either poor or low income. Mm-hmm. So what, at this point, and as we move into the new year, what is the best way to engage people? And the fact is, you want to stay in the media. You want to ensure that the media continues to focus on the message. So what is the best way to go about doing that?
Well, when you say we want to be sure that the media, focuses on the message, you have to ask yourself what message. And I think that's part of, going back to something that Justin had mentioned earlier, that's part of this process of engaging in dialogue and, building a community that together is experimenting with different forms of political action to experience efficacy. I want the media to focus on our message. I want the general public to hear what we're doing and to get inspired and engaged in it. I think that our camps, our communities that we established, our tent cities that we established, are so much more than campgrounds or campsites, camping sites. Our communities that we established really have gone to the core issues of how the state represses and regulates a people's movement. And it's cut straight to issues for many of us on the ground, if not yet for the general public. Some core values that define what this country means for many people, values such as freedom, liberty, justice, the right to assemble. From the very first day that we were on the ground, there wasn't any lack of there wasn't any confusion that we were there because we believe our First Amendment rights, among other rights, protect us in our actions. So the city of San Francisco has consistently argued with us around issues that pertain to city codes. You can't sleep here during these hours. This is a public park. You can't have structures here. Rather than ever addressing any of our concerns, which is, yes, a public park. We are a public group. We have a right to assemble. We have a right to use the space. It does not say in the Constitution no tents or no overnight camping if that is the way that you want to exercise, you know, freedom of political expression. So, our decision to form small communities in parks has cut right to those issues. And now, as the state has engaged with us so brutally, it really brings out some of the core issues. Okay, well, what interests is the state protecting?
That is Kat Hoban. She's organizer with Occupy San Francisco. We've got full lines, and we'll get to you in just a minute, but let's go to Vanessa Carlisle, who's with Occupy LA. And what are your thoughts on these questions, Vanessa, whether you want to take it as what's the best target, the banks, the ports, Walmart, all of the above? We have some really interesting calls coming in. And also just the best ways to engage the public.
Right. I love how none of us are going to actually answer your question, because part of what we're doing is developing a movement that has diversity of tactics, diversity of targets. And one thing that I think is really important to keep in mind, especially for the occupations in large cities, is that we are working simultaneously on local issues and also on state and national issues. And it's just very, very difficult to call a target when you're doing that. So, you know, for Occupy Los Angeles, we just mic checked the Chief Beck of the LAPD. And it was a small, local, autonomous action that was, that was in order to show some solidarity with people on who live on Skid Row. And that's something that's very much about our local community, connecting with our homeless population, connecting with our community action network, right? But at the same time, what we were talking about in that mic check is this very large national issue of the criminalization of the homeless. And so one thing that the Occupy movement is doing in a way that is truly remarkable and also difficult to categorize is that we're being conscious constantly of what's going on directly outside our doors and also what's going on in the whole country. And so the big port shutdown, you know, is a demonstration of the fact that we are committed to doing more intervention and getting more involved in workplace struggles. We're building better bridges with union rank and file. We're escalating our actions. You know, there's a lot of people who want to do actions that last longer than a day. Our vision is huge, and the way that we're achieving all of these things is through tons of experimental moments of trying new things. So I think the general strike in May, we're working on building momentum for this really large action, general strike on May Day, and I think that's going to be one of our greatest moments, and definitely it's something that we can all galvanize around, doing what I said, doing both local work and having this vision for the country at large.
And that is Vanessa Carlisle. She is a member of Occupy LA. And if you'd like to join us, we have full lines. A line will come free in a couple of minutes. You can call 866-798-8255. We're talking about where the Occupy movement goes from here as we wrap up 2011. And what are your thoughts on the best ways to engage the public? What do you think is most effective? Just in the last 2 weeks, we saw occupying the ports, Occupy Walmart, Occupy K Street, Occupy representative offices in D.C., Occupy the Supreme Court. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And let's hear from Bob in Watsonville. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks to all the crew that's been working.
Thank you. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm a little frustrated with the Occupy movement in that it does not present the 1% with a real threat. It does not have a real bite. I've been trying to meditate in my mind what would have a bite. And usually you start with the myth of the opponent. And one of the myths of our opponents is that they are hidden. They are unexposed. They are invulnerable. And it strikes me that if we're going to occupy property, we might occupy their neighborhoods. I've been researching the wealthiest communities in the United States. 9 of them are right here in California. May I go through a quick list?
Sure.
Atherton, Pebble Beach, Hillsborough, Los Altos, Palm Springs, Hollywood Hills, Rolling Hills, and Woodside. 8 of them are actually on Long Island in New York. This is where wealth lives. Let's go to their homes. Let's go to their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Let's go to their lovely lawns, their lovely parks, their swimming pools and golf courses. Let's occupy and demonstrate to the public who they are, that they're not hidden, that they have names, that they can be located, and educate the public about those people whose homes are and property are being occupied.
All right. Well, thank you. And this didn't get as much attention as it deserved, but when you're talking about whether or not this is hitting the 1%, MSNBC's Chris Hayes reported a couple of weeks ago that a well-known Washington lobbying firm with links to the financial industry, Clark Lytle, Gudlegid, and Cranford, proposed an $850,000 plan to take on Occupy Wall Street and politicians who might express sympathy for the protests. They're conducting what they call opposition research on Occupy in order to construct, quote, negative narratives about the protests and the allied politicians, according to this report. So it's clearly making some waves in the banking industry if this PR firm is putting together this memo to spell out how to undermine the movement. And we'll put a link on that on our website. Thanks for calling, Bob. Let's go to a few more callers, and then we'll get responses from our guests. Let's hear from Bill in Hayward. Hi, Bill.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, so this is my recommendation for mostly the Bay Area occupiers. My thought for your next destination or your place you might go for is something like the mothball fleet out in Benicia. You know, I think it'd be a really great statement in occupying these vessels here that are completely dormant and useless, and you know, it really takes some effort and wouldn't appear to the general public like you're just, you know, taking over a space because you have this, you know, vast amount of people that are available to do it, and you can really, you know, take that and reuse that space and move on from there.
So those are the old military ships near Benicia?
Right. Okay. Yeah, and there's probably 40 or 50 of them that you can just see right off as you cross the Benicia Bridge, and they're just useless there. So this would be a perfect use, and it would be an incredible statement. I mean, that would take a lot of effort and a lot of thought to reuse those vessels like that. I'm sure people all over the country would be impressed.
Well, thanks for the recommendation, Bill. Let's go next to Alex in San Francisco. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I think they should target the congressional people who vote against the people's interest and put them out of office. Also, work for constitutional amendment to get rid of money in elections and to make Supreme Court justices subject to election by the public and not sitting there for life where they reverse the people's legislations and everything by making this constitutional excuses to undermine progressive issues. Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. There was a very large march in D.C. a couple of weeks ago. 62 people were arrested for shutting down K Street, home of Washington's lobbyists. And demonstrators from 46 states across the country went to D.C. to occupy the offices of their representatives. At least the representatives in Chicago refused to meet with demonstrators. Representative Joe Walsh, according to the Huffington Post, left his office down a back staircase, ignoring questions and comments, even though his staffers promised he would meet with visitors. And we also have a comment on our Facebook page from David along these lines. He says, the top priority should be to reoccupy democracy by passing the California Disclose Act, AB 1148, to show who really pays for political ads in every election. The state assembly will vote on it in January. Please help to pass this and spend more attention on this. So thank you for calling in. Alex, we'll take one more call and then we'll get responses. Let's go to Edward in Berkeley. Hi, Edward.
Hi. Well, my basic idea about this, and it answers the confusion that the media seemed to try to be stuck on, I say try, is that Wall Street has occupied us, not just Wall Street, but the whole system, the financial institutes, especially in Wall Street, the bankers have occupied us. And so out of that, I suggest that we, one of my humble suggestions, among the wonderful suggestions I've heard, is to reoccupy, to take back our houses. What is it? One out of 20 houses have been occupied by the banks and paid off by the Clinton administration. The banks have been paid off by for the losses. We should just take back those houses, where a lot of people are out in the streets without houses because of this stupid thing. That's my suggestion.
All right, thank you. And there's so many actions across the country to make sure people keep their homes, and a lot of them have been successful. Well, we have a number of emails. Doug says, Occupy should build on Senator Bernie Sanders' proposed corporate amendment to overturn the Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling, as well as the Los Angeles City Council resolution to support a constitutional amendment that only living people, not corporations, are endowed with constitutional rights. Vanessa, this happened in L.A., and it got a lot of attention, at least through social media. Are the occupiers talking about this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited about it. And, you know, it's interesting because we can't really, we can't take a lot of credit for the origin of it. It was actually in the works before the occupation. But I do think we can take a great deal of credit, and especially our Civic Engagement Committee can take credit for just being a constant presence in city council, speaking out all the time during public comment, putting a lot of pressure on the city council about corporate personhood. It's definitely been a big part of our conversation.
Well, and I'd love to get you all in this, and we have just a couple minutes before we go to break, but we're getting a lot of emails from listeners who say people should occupy political offices and push for money out of politics. Justin, what are your thoughts on that?
Public voice in places where it's actively been pushed out, or where our apathy to have our voice heard in those areas is very important for us to do. There's been some mic checks that we've done here in Salt Lake with the Department of Air Quality, which I don't know if you are all familiar with the company Kennecott. They're the copper mine here in Utah, one of the largest polluters in the city, contributing to a lot of health issues, a lot of the inversion problems that we experience from year to year. Pretty much owns the Department of Air Quality, which has actively not been enforcing the Clean Air Act here in Utah. Mm-hmm. So the mic check we did to them, it was more or less worded to be empowering to the Department of Air Quality, that they are the ones that have the tools to change this problem that's not being solved. And it actually was very well received by a lot of people in the Department of Air Quality. They didn't throw us out. They let us, you know, get our points out. We'll wait to see what actions come out of it. But my checking political space, I think, is an incredibly important thing.
Well, hold that thought.
Because the public voice has been pushed out.
Yeah, we'll hold that thought. We'll talk more about that after the break. Today, we are talking about where the Occupy movement goes from here as we round out the year. What do you think is most effective? What are the best ways to engage the public? You can join us at 866-798-8255, feedback@yourcallradio.org. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW. Have we kept you connected to your community? Maybe made you aware of a global issue? Perhaps given you a different perspective about something you heard in the mainstream media? In this season of giving, please consider an additional gift to Local Public Radio to keep great radio on the air and on the net. Make your donation online at kalw.org, or you can mail us a check. Our address is 500 Mansell Street, in San Francisco, 94134. And happy holidays from all of us here at your local public radio station, Independent KALW.
The This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll discuss media coverage of the payroll tax cut extension and the renewal of unemployment benefits. They both expire at the end of this month. We'll also discuss coverage of the Eurozone crisis. And then on Monday, we'll have a conversation about what it is like to live on food stamps and who is using them. We'll talk about what the application process is like in Texas. You have to fill out an 18-page form. And as these numbers continue to increase, we'll talk about what it is like to live on food stamps, $4.40 a day. And then Tuesday, we'll have a conversation with Nomi Prinz. She is a journalist who used to work on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs. And we'll talk to her about the year in the economy. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can join us, feedback at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about where the Occupy movements go from here, and we'd love to hear from you. What do you think has been most effective up until now? What do you think will be effective in the new year? What are the best ways to engage the public? And what do you think are the most effective targets? We've seen so many actions over the past couple of months at the banks, at the ports. We're talking today about some actions at Walmart. There are actions in D.C. at the Supreme Court on K Street. What do you think are the most effective actions? What draws in the most people? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Today we're joined by Vanessa Carlisle. She's a member of Occupy LA and a grad student at USC. Justin Kramer is an organizer and a member of Occupy Salt Lake City. He is studying communications and peace and conflict resolution at the University of Utah. And Kate Hoban is a member of Occupy San Francisco. And before we get to more calls, Kate, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Mike checking politicians, I'm sorry, Kat, and all of the emails that we're receiving about occupying political offices and working to get money out of politics.
Sure. So mic check is such a powerful tool. We don't need amplification. We just need the amplification of the people, you know, voices coming together. We've used mic check strategically on the ground during police action to call out abuses of the San Francisco Police Department to the people. When we've seen male officers, you know, put hands into the back pockets of females, being arrested, doing searches on their bodies. When we've seen officers deny medical care to somebody who has been passed out on the ground after being brutalized by the police, we've used mic check to get them to shift their action. And I think that continuing to use mic check in political spaces and political office is a really great strategy, especially because what we're claiming the space for is discourse. I would love to see, you know, a speakers list start. That's where we, you know, write down the names of everybody who wants an opportunity to speak. I'd love to see a speakers list start that includes elected officials. You know, when we go into their office, that includes people in their, you know, in their office, and give them an opportunity to speak and respond. That, you know, really helps us to take the conversation beyond, this is the message that Occupy has for you, but really opens up a space for a conversation to happen. I've yet to see anybody, pardon me, I've yet to see anybody from the city of San Francisco come forward to our occupation and express a genuine interest or need that reflects how that motivates their behavior and their actions that they're taking against us. Like, for example, if the mayor came to Occupy San Francisco and said, hey, like I've been saying, I'm really concerned, I support your freedom of expression and political manifestation, but here's my needs. Like, I need to make sure that people aren't sick because it's a huge liability for the city. Two, I need to make sure that corporations that are in the city don't just bounce, because San Francisco is too liberal, because they need their tax, I need their businesses to keep schools open and serve the public, which is my personal mission and my responsibility in office. If they came with genuine interest, mm-hmm. we would be able to have a more thoughtful conversation, and that would be so great. So I really love this idea of you know, continuing to use the mic check, which is really facilitated discussion and a conversation in public space and taking the issues to a deeper more critical level. Mm.
Well, we have another email from John who says, I suggest occupying the homes and neighborhoods of financial industry lobbyists. Actions such as blocking ports present contradictory messages. Blue-collar folks versus occupiers confuses and diffuses the message. We have another email about this from Rob Wyman. He says, instead of occupying things, how about if these folks worked on voter registration? How about working to unionize more blue-collar workers? Workers at the Port of Oakland are among the last union workers in the Bay Area. Keeping even a few of these men and women from getting a paycheck finally soured me on the movement. Kat, you were involved in that. How would you respond to Rob and John?
So, as you know, as you were reading all of the different callers were speaking, and as you've been reading emails, I've been taking notes because these are really great ideas. And because of my involvement in this movement, I have the opportunity to, when I hear a really great idea, put, you know, suggest it forward and see if other people may be interested in it. And one thing that Vanessa said earlier is it's a diversity of tactics by a diverse group of people. And there's really space within this movement to mobilize in all sorts of different directions. So people who are passionate about voting and do believe that some of the system's greatest issues could be solved if more people were registered to vote and empowered to vote and engaged in voting, I really support them in devoting their time and their efforts and energy into initiatives and actions that work towards that vision. Other folks, however, may have less confidence in that voting system, may have less confidence that elected officials, regardless of who put them into office, that elected officials will ever respond to the needs of the people versus the demands of the corporations, who also influence them being into office through campaign finance. So we need to do everything, and the beauty of this movement is that there's space for all of it. There were mixed reactions to our, you know, to the port shutdown. We had, you know, letters of support and solidarity from, you know, from truck drivers, from people in the Longshoremen's Union. And one thing that is very important to note is that we did not restrict the ability or the right of anybody to work on Monday's port shutdown if they chose to. We simply empowered them not to by establishing a picket line, which triggered the clause within their working contract because they are unionized workers to not work if they choose to. We then empowered their union representatives to negotiate with the owners and operators of the port to further empower their workers to not work. So we're put in a position where people are working for their livelihood. If, you know, your employer can, and your, most of us work without union, without contract, we're employed at will.
Unfortunately.
So our employer at any time can take from us our home if we're living paycheck to paycheck, which so many of us are. So we really need to be savvy and offer workers an opportunity to resist that doesn't justify their well-being. Hmm. Same thing with police officers, same thing with Department of Public Works employees, same thing with teachers.
Well, thank you for the email, Rob and John. And you can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. You can also give us a call at 866-798-8255. Kat Hoban is with Occupy San Francisco. Vanessa Carlisle is with Occupy LA. And Justin Kramer is with Occupy Salt Lake City. And let's hear next from Jason in San Jose. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Great. So in terms of a future focus, what I'm wondering is with the national election right around the corner and a lot of media energy as well as public energy that's going to be dedicated to that ends over the next year, why not find a champion in the pool of candidates to rally behind and really get the national focus to a lot of these smaller regional movements?
Jason, do you think there's a champion to rally behind at this point?
Not at this point, but I would also think that if the Occupy movement was really making it known that they were trying to find a champion, I think that enough attention and enough discourse and discussion has happened as a result that a smart candidate, who, whatever side that they might be on, would want to try to woo the Occupy movement.
All right. Well, thank you. And the former mayor of Salt Lake City, Rocky Anderson, just announced that he's going to run. So we'll get a response. I'd love to hear what Justin thinks about this. We'll get a response after a few more calls. Let's go to Alan in Monterey. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Another fine show.
Thank you.
I had a thought. How about we occupy vacant lots, especially if they're owned by lobbyists or the wealthy neighborhoods above mentioned, but with the growing homelessness, start Victory Gardens to feed the growing homeless population. They did that in Santa Cruz with Food for Not Bombs, and it worked really effectively a few years back. Also, the offices of lobbyists for the prison industry, or the sidewalks in front of banks are a good place to start. That's where we did the tuna boycott. But mostly, and most importantly, Walmart for ripping the heart out of communities all over the country. I counted in Longpoke 45 places for lease or rent. The town is just like blighted out Detroit. And you can take the same story up to Sonora or a lot of different places in California, but mainly because they bought 400 grocery stores in Japan and they're selling highly threatened endangered whale and dolphin meat. And that alone is enough for me to not darken their doorstep.
Wait a minute. Walmart is selling whale meat?
They bought 37.7%. Controlling share of a company called CU, and there was 400 grocery stores in that transaction. They're just like Costco selling, you know, beef or ribeye or steaks, whatever. They are marketing whale meat through there, yes.
So not in the U.S., but in Japan.
Japan.
Wow. And the chances are they're probably selling dolphin meat without people knowing it.
Definitely. The good news is we've cut the dolphin traffic of dolphin meat down 30% this year.
Well, if you haven't seen The Cove, definitely see that. There's Occupy the Cove. Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you.
We'll go to our next caller, Abdul in Oakland. Hi, Abdul. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. I think the focus should be on corporations leveling the playing field and repealing that Supreme Court decision. That should be number one. And the politicians are too comfortable with the corporations. We need term limits on the politicians so they can't stay in office for years and years and establish relationships with lobbyists and corporations. And those two should be the main focus. And I like the suggestion by the first caller who said, you know, the port, I think the port demonstration wasn't well thought out. Because most of the, I'm familiar with some of the truck, I'm from Oakland, and a lot of the independent truck drivers, they lose money when they can't pull a load. So you hurting them, and the little money that the big corporation lost on a one-day thing like that is minuscule. You know, I think we got to make the big folks feel uncomfortable, and they didn't feel uncomfortable. That was just a little... a gnat on that face. It wasn't anything, and it wasn't well thought out. And I think we got it. You need the protest, but you need a presence every day, organizing people and a think tank. Where is Obama supposed to raise $1 billion? Where is that $1 billion going? Who is it going to? Let's find out who is it going to.
Well, it's going to a lot of media conglomerates. He's actually going to raise more than $1 billion for this election.
What media? Can we get more transparency? Where is it going? I think those kind of issues need to be exposed because...
You know,
just say $1 billion going to the media. What's the guy? Wall Street. Murdoch. Is it going to Murdoch?
Thank you for the call. And I'm not. That's not to say that the whole billion goes to the media, but we will definitely do a show on this in the coming year about where all of these billions are spent on the presidential election. And so much of the money is spent on media because they have to spend money on all of their commercials, and it goes to the top five. So, all right, so we have a number of more callers and a number of emails. Why don't we just take a few? Actually, what do you think, Justin, about the call to get involved in the presidential campaign?
I can say to that is that we support a diversity of tactics. You know, Rocky Anderson has put his voice out there to start calling for a third party. It's not a political movement, and the movement GAs across the nation have voted not to prescribe to a political party.
Right.
Uniting behind somebody because they have a good voice and they may be able to be a part of the system and amplify that voice. You can't say that you need to fill the gas tank. You can't fill the gas tank
if the transmission's broken. And our system is broken right now. We can elect so many good people into power, but because of the special interest groups and the lobbyists that control those positions, the good people we elect into those positions are not able to make the decisions they need to be making. We need to fix the way that money affects our politics, the political process, before I personally would be behind any candidate going into office. This is not an Occupy thing. I personally will be boycotting the next election. Mm. I support a diversity of tactics, but the system is broken, and I have little faith in standing behind any candidate as being one person to solve the problem. It takes us all uniting as individuals and standing up individually, compassionately towards the people and communities around us in order to fix the problems. So rallying behind a single individual to solve those problems for us is, to me, not the answer. That's my position on it. I support a diversity of tactics. I support anybody who wants to encourage people to vote next election. I encourage many empowered people in office to actively seek out the ability to make those right decisions. Whatever special interest groups they have shackling them from making those decisions, I encourage them to empower themselves to be able to make those decisions or to stand up to what makes it impossible for them to carry out those decisions they would like to make. So that's what I feel about the political process. If Rocky Anderson wins the presidency, then good on him. God bless him.
Well, we'll get quick responses from Vanessa and Kat because a lot of people are bringing this up. But we do have so many more calls, and we just got an email from someone in New York with an update that I really want to read because it's full of great info. So, Kat, what are your thoughts on the politics and the role that Occupy will play during the presidential election?
Well, I can just let you know that I'm here in my room in Berkeley, California, doing spirit fingers as Justin speaks. That's what we do at the occupation when someone's speaking and we agree with what they're saying. Totally. Diversity. I mean, there's whole organizations that are built towards contributing and engaging the public in campaigns, and they've been operating for years. I've also heard people speak on Obama's behalf, saying things like, right, we got him into office through a people's movement, and then where was the people's movement once he was there? And for me, that doesn't sound or feel sustainable to expect that every turn that people will be able to rise up for every single policy or reform that comes to the desk. I'm interested in continuing to see the public play out their different ideas about what is going to lead to actual change. In my perspective, we've already played out what it looks like when we get a people's president into office. And in this current system as it is, as we elected Obama and took to the streets and celebrated, I was in Oakland and bus drivers were honking the night that Obama got into office for the first time and into presidential office. And we've already played that out and we've already seen the impact that it has. And I'm interested in trying new tactics now personally. However, the public that still has those questions in their mind of, well, maybe we just need, more funding to go towards, education. Maybe we just need a better president in office who's going to be more responsive to the people. Maybe we just need this one change to campaign finance reform. I want them to try it, and I want them to, give it their best effort, because I really believe that each of us has that right or the agency to check it out and see what's going to happen. Personally, my beliefs are more in line with what Justin is saying. I think that we've tried it, and I think that it's time that as a nation, and I consider myself to be politically sovereign. As a member person of this planet, I think we all need to go back and question what are the fundamental values that underlie this system. Go beyond issues, candidates, elected officials, and say, why do we believe in resource scarcity? Why do we believe in profiting at the expense of others? Why do we believe that violence is an appropriate tool to use to repress personal actions or behaviors when they don't benefit the profit of those who hold power? So those are some of the big questions that I'm interested in us talking about, and they are being talked about on the ground at the occupation as we make very tough decisions like and sign a contract with the city.
And Vanessa, sorry to cut you off, but we have so many more calls. And it's so odd today. All of our callers. I'm sorry, Kat. No, wait, was that Kat?
Yeah, that's so,
sorry about that. I'm being bombarded with emails and phone calls. For some reason, we have all male callers today. We've had 11 callers, and they've all been men, which is a little odd. I wonder why that is. But I want to make sure we get in more emails and more calls. And we have a really good update from Sherry Wolf from Occupy New York City. And she says, I just want to remind folks that far from being over, Occupy here has continued the home occupation by a formerly homeless family in a foreclosed house in Brooklyn, and is planning many more of these with full and active support in that all-black neighborhood. Teachers and parents continue to occupy the Department of Education meetings where school closings and charter takeovers are voted on. Hundreds turned out last night for a meeting of mic checking, not only in New York, but in Chicago and Seattle. The Transit Workers Union, 35,000 subway and bus workers, continue an open collaboration with Occupy Wall Street to occupy negotiations, put pressure on the city. The next action is tonight. Plans here are to retake a space for occupation in Lower Manhattan on Saturday, the three-month anniversary of Occupy, and big immigrant rights actions are planned for this Saturday. So there's so much going on in Manhattan. Thank you so much for that email, Sherry. It's great to get updates and to keep all of this at the forefront, as so much is getting lost in the media coverage. And let's take a few more callers and hopefully some more emails, and then we'll get final thoughts. Let's go to Will in Santa Cruz. Hi, Will.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Oh, excuse me. The point I'd like to make is that I believe that the Occupy movement could kind of change into a new environmental movement, because the majority of the wealth generated by these Wall Street firms is because of, you know, the Earth's resources and using gold and silver and all the precious minerals, oil, coal, and all those kind of things. And if we really wanted to occupy something of importance, it would be the strip mines on public lands or the fracking operations that are going on everywhere and causing huge environmental damage. The oil platforms off the coast of California or in the Gulf. So just that kind of thing, and that the majority of the wealth generated on the planet is from plundering the Earth's resources, and that if the Occupy movement wanted to make a big statement, if they went in that direction, I think it would make a difference.
All right. Thank you, Will. Let's hear from Joseph in Berkeley. Hi, Joseph.
Yes, good morning. First of all, I want to interject before my question. The last thing we need is to look for another hero, especially from the Democrat and, needless to say, the Republican Party, and have the movement be hijacked down that dead-end route. I think with regard to that, perhaps the Occupy movement could have an organized voter boycott against a totally rigged and corporate finance election system. But my call is about a couple of weeks ago, a woman named Mary called in, and for her purposes, of course, she characterized herself as a liberal. And she spewed out the deepest stereotypes, essentially the dirty, violent, hippie stereotypes against the Occupy movement and Occupy Oakland in particular. Namely, that it's dirty, it's full of criminals and hooligans, it's out of control, it promoted criminal behavior that culminated in a murder. And unfortunately, a Joshua Holland from Alternet, which I thought was supposed to be a liberal publication, cluelessly reinforced the last stereotype about Occupy Oakland, as well as denied that the attacks against these Occupy are regionally or nationally motivated. So I'm wondering, what do your guests have to say about these kinds of highly stereotypical accusations by people who've obviously never participated in the Occupy movement and might otherwise just be ideologically opposed to them? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Joseph. Does anyone have a brief comment on that?
I would love to speak to that. This is Vanessa.
Vanessa?
We talk about media image and media representation a lot at Occupy Los Angeles, which might not surprise you. But one thing that we're really noticing is that despite what we do, our representation in the media has very little to do with our self-understanding of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we have actually all but given up on this basic idea that somehow we can get the mainstream media to represent what we're doing fairly. We have accepted that they do not represent what we're doing fairly or accurately, and that the only way that we can really help people understand what we're doing, if they are opposed to it, is conversation. So we have all of these new creative outreach, one-on-one outreach initiatives, and all kinds of things that we're doing that are to try to get information out there and disseminate so that we are not beholden to coverage in the media, because I really do think that that's the basic problem here, is that Most people are only getting their information from you know, the major news corporations. So we're doing a lot to try to encourage ourselves to have our own websites and, you know, do a lot of our own videos and really start generating our own content so that we can affect those conversations.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Joseph. We're almost out of time. Ruth Ann, thank you for calling in. Our first woman caller of the morning. It says campaign finance is most important. We've got a number of emails about money in politics, about occupying politicians, a few emails about the messaging. Megan writes and says, I'm kind of tired of all of the chaos. Please give me something I can hang on to and I'll have something to support. Find a center. So in your final thoughts, Justin, about 30 seconds, what are your hopes for 2012?
My hopes for 2012 is that we have more people standing together to give voice to the silenced masses. We have people standing up for the impoverished and disenfranchised across this country in every community that they find them in. I hope that people know that the occupation is about building public civic space for grievances to be aired and to get down there and come and be a part of this so they can air their grievances, whatever they may be. And I hope that they can know that this occupation is about creating a community that's involved in an environmentally, economically, and socially sustainable future, and to empower themselves, empower their communities to accomplish that, and to do the most effective form, the most profound form of protest, which is beyond direct action, beyond waving a sign. It is developing an alternative.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but we will definitely continue to follow this conversation. Justin Kramer is with Occupy Salt Lake City. Vanessa Carlisle is with Occupy LA. Kat Hoban is with Occupy San Francisco. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for your many phone calls and emails. I think I got to almost all of them this time around. Thanks for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss media coverage of the payroll tax cut extension and renewal of unemployment benefits, which expire at the end of the month. We'll also talk about coverage of the Eurozone. What grabbed your attention this week? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our daily podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is executive producer. Pete Misick is our web editor and Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer and David Latulipe is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and produced by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.